One beer in, you're feeling cozy. Two beers in, you're getting nosy. Three beers in, you're getting your posy. One more word, wheezy.
Way, hey, the vomit rises. We're breakfast in the morning.
One beer in, and you're feeling peachy. Two beers in, and you're getting preachy. Three beers in, and you're drunk and meachy. One more, and we're tipsy.
Way, hey, the vomit rises.
Cheers, beers. Welcome to Four Beers In. Here, clinky, clinky.
Oh, I gotta fill up.
Well, how about Jess spin while Tam refills?
It was pointed out by Jess that we didn't introduce ourselves last time, so while she does that, I'm Matt.
I'm Brendan.
Timmy.
I'm Jess. Ooh, a different order.
No, you just kind of give it a crank from the middle. I think it needs to be greased.
Oh, you lost your turn.
That's okay.
Well,
who's a point in that?
Brendan, because he had a topic.
Brendan is the picker.
Just a sip.
Alrighty. let me sip.
That was a cheat, but I didn't see anything over this computer monitor.
In honor of Pele.
I see.
Hey.
Cheers, Pele.
Cheers.
And that is my topic. Sports heroes.
Ooh.
Pele was definitely a sports hero of mine. And they can still be alive. But, yeah, I grew up watching Pele mostly through replays or bad TV reception. Because this was before the internet and all of the phenomenal stuff that, like, I would end up having friends be like, oh, I saw Pele do this or I learned this from this. So it was always kind of a hand-me-down thing. But, yeah, at least he got to see one hell of a World Cup, despite the fact its location.
I was thinking when he went into end-of-life care at the beginning and everyone's saying, pray for Pele, I'm like, well, at this point, you pray for a peaceful end, because there's no way he's coming out of
there. Right.
So I really wanted a peaceful end for him.
Right.
And he hung on for like another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is, awesome. It made me want to watch Victory again. And I haven't... I mean, it's been years. I vaguely remember that movie, but I actually had a harder time taking it, I think, than when I thought I would, because, you know, you're on Facebook, you read it, you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I think
somebody went, you know? And then the next day, I'm seeing some of my teammates and my just people I didn't even know, but they also played soccer, because, you know, we're all soccer related to an extent, and everyone has their own little tributes, and I'd like to consider myself a decent writer. I didn't do that, and I kind of felt bad because the dude did touch me in a non-uncle way. So I felt bad for that, and I even told Tam, like, the next day, I'm like, it's hitting me a little harder than I thought. Like, you normally, when it comes to like a celebrity passing,
especially when they're
It's 82.
Especially when it's so expected.
Right.
And they've had such a wonderful life.
And colon cancer is not something anyone really ever comes back from. So, it's pretty bad. So it was kind of like, well, you expect that. But, you know, most of the time when it's someone that's a celebrity or even an older celebrity, like Betty White. I mean, it's like...
Keeping her alive became kind of a cultural joke, though.
It did.
Yeah, that's true.
She died right before her 100th birthday.
Yeah.
But
and I kind of expected seeing something this year, too, you know, because usually, I mean, it's around the holidays, and there's always, like, you know, some sort of hat tip to Betty White. There wasn't really anything at all this year, and I kind of expected
her house
that.
Got demolished this year.
What?
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
The house that she and Alan,
I don't know
whatever his last name was, that real raised their family in.
Something just howled. I don't know what that was.
That was my dog. She's complaining that it's that she should be fed.
Oh, so. It was that time.
Life's hard.
I know, right?
My dog's at home like that motherfucker left again.
Ours will just start chewing on shit. Yeah.
no, I get that, though. I mean, not sports, but Glenn Frey hit me pretty hard.
Okay, and, yeah. And it doesn't have to be just sports. You're right. Let's just go to...
No, sports is fine. I'm just saying that when it came to celebrity deaths, like Fife Dog and Glenn Frey hit me harder than...
Fife Dog? Oh, you didn't know Tribe Fife from A Tribe Called Quest? Yeah, those Fife was...
I'm not hip.
Yeah,
I never was. Okay. I'm sorry if I gave that impression.
I mean, heard of Tribe Called if Quest, you know Michael
well, what about
Rappaport,
the, what's
you
his face
know.
From Foo Fighters?
Dave Grohl.
No, the drummer.
I didn't know the drummer's name. I only know Dave Grohl and Pat Smear.
Watching his son play, and
literally
it was so cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just, there are certain, depending on the impact that the celebrity has, you know, like, I remember as a kid being upset about Gene Kelly dying. Like, he died in 93, so I was 9 years old. But he's, throughout my childhood, I watched his musicals, you know, and had that kind of
I saw this thing
formational.
Like, I saw this thing this year, not too long ago, in memoriam of... oh boy, I had her name, Madeline Kahn.
Oh.
And I'm like, there is no way Madeline Kahn just died. So I looked it up and no, she died in like 1989. I'm like,
okay. Why are we bringing it up now?
Did my parents just not care when famous people died? Because I had no idea.
Right?
But like, okay, so somebody said it's the 20 whatever year anniversary of Madeline Kahn. I'm like, okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
But where the fuck was I when she actually died? Because she was very... awesome in a lot of ways.
Well, I think it just it.
I think the boomers, our parents, did not care. They didn't memorialize people.
They handled death.
They did.
They
did
care, but I think they
every time I wonder
internalize it.
Yeah.
Anytime someone like I don't know Humphrey Bogart died in my lifetime, like I knew nothing of his death. There was no film at 11. Like there was no memoriam on the and my parents watched the evening news, which means I watched the evening news. I didn't see anyone memorialized.
Well, I almost wonder if, like, we live a little more vicariously through celebrities now. So, like, if a celebrity dies...
It's true. Our lives are way shittier than our parents were.
Well, and I don't think we had the social network back then either.
Right.
At least I definitely didn't.
But
right.
That's the thing. It should have been 100% on the news. And
right.
I don't remember ever seeing anything on the news that said somebody really as famous as Humphrey Bogart.
I don't know
dead.
How your family is, but like when it comes to that, like even when it was close network, family related, my parents were even then kind of close. I mean, we would know someone's passing, but they didn't talk about it a whole lot. I think we internalized more. And I think social media made it bigger for us, and now people talk about it more.
Right.
But I've never seen my dad cry.
Well,
ever.
And there's also been a push, especially
how
in the past.
Feel?
Oh.
Because my son's seen me cry a few times, and I always wonder.
Well, it bothers me in a way because he should feel to have that outlet and not be judged. Like I remember when two of our dogs ran out in the road and they both got hit and they were both his like babies. I mean, he's a veterinarian, so we obviously love animals. But he went into my mom's. I go, "Where's Dad?" He goes, "He's in the shower. He doesn't want to see him cry." I'm like, "Really?" But I'm a lot like my dad. I mean, I still will cry in front of people.
That's how I took it.
I do that a lot too. When I get upset, like I'm a lot like my dad. Not as that bad, but like I don't know if it's that generation and men back then didn't feel
well. And we've seen a societal shift too, where you know there's been a lot more push for it's okay for men to not only have these feelings but to show these feelings and not have to hide them. Like that is not something that was.
Once we find out, it gets us laid.
That's actually
well, yeah, that's why a lot of those older people are still trying to figure out what the problem is.
But I mean,
is.
Especially when you look at your dad's generation, like a lot of guys that they were the strong ones, they were the breadwinners, they were the ones who did all of this stuff and so that the woman could be more and so we can't because we have to be strong and we have to be and that's not really the
you know what's weird is my dad, a Vietnam veteran, would wake up like crying and screaming like of nightmares of PTSD.
Right.
To think that he didn't feel like he could express emotions in front of my mom consciously, I think was a huge misplay by him.
Yeah.
Misread.
Oh, totally.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And
he felt
mean,
like he didn't want to
it's
burden her whatever
you
his thought.
On some level.
But it destroyed her, too, because she probably wanted to help.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. And she was like, tell me.
Right.
And he's like, no.
Right.
Right.
I'm on.
Where did
like,
that get you?
Right.
In the fucking ground is where it got you, you know?
Yep. Well, and I think the last couple of years we've kind of seen a real shift in, you know, being able to speak about these things is beneficial and it is helpful.
Well,
so,
it's understanding that knowing that you do need to release the demon, so to speak.
Right.
You know, like if
and I think it's an attractive, not that I'm turned on by a guy crying, but I think...
In my
but I do think it's an attractive...
Right, right.
Right into the beer.
It'll take the bitterness out of this IPA.
But I not that I like to see it, but I do in a way, because I want, like you said, like everyone has that outlet and I feel like they need to.
Yeah.
So I feel if the guy can do that, that's good.
Yeah, I think for me that kind of signifies that he's a little more emotionally mature than some others. Yeah.
I would feel like, okay, if he's expressing himself this way, he's probably not going to punch me at some point. So.
Well, I don't know about that.
But I grew up on Ralph Cramden.
That's actually to the true. Moon, Alice. I mean, that, oh my God.
Domestic violence was comedy. That, in my
that's true.
Age.
Well, if you go back that, you had an Archie Bunker.
Oh my gracious.
We call this one a dummy or something.
Eat it!
And what did Brad Foreman in the 70s show?
Oh my gosh.
It's good to stand behind your kids because it's easier to put your foot up their ass.
No lie, Red Foreman is probably one of my favorite sitcom characters. But anyway.
I have found a nice, delicate balance between, yeah, my son sees me emotional. Like, when I watched Phantom of the Opera, I cried like a baby.
I think it's beautiful. Good because you're teaching him.
But I'll also
good.
Put my foot
healthy emotion.
Oh, right. That too. That's
so
what I mean.
You're basically teaching him, like, healthy emotional regulation through demonstrating it versus, you know, saying, yes, you need to do this, but, you know, I'm not going to do this because I'm, you know. And I think that's huge. That is, I think, that's part of this is going way the different direction that Brendan was thinking.
Yeah, I'm like, Patrick Waugh was also a great, like, and he's still alive. But
yeah, is like, all right, this
just talking about deaths and stuff,
Pele's
I think, in general.
Passing hit him harder than
yeah.
he expected,
oh,
and
yeah.
that totally makes sense.
Well,
yeah,
you didn't
sure.
expect to have that reaction, but oh my God, this guy
yeah.
was a role model. He was one of the best
in fact,
players
I don't,
back in
yeah.
the whatever.
I don't think I realized how much he meant to me until after. It definitely was one of those situations. Like, when I read the shit, it was like, oh damn, that sucks. And I went about my day, played some video games, drank some shit. Then I go into work the next day, a little bit more sober, a little bit more clear-minded, and my emotions are kind of talking to me a little. And I'm reading what other people have had to say about him, and it hits yeah. me like, this dude is the sole reason, technically, that I've kind of stuck with and fell in love with soccer.
But speaking
yeah.
of,
like, we didn't have, like, it wasn't until the 94-95 did we have American soccer idols that we could actually look up to and after. And at that point I've been playing for a while, so
yeah,
because listening to Alexi Lawless is like,
I fucking had to block him during the World Cup. I actually blocked
he's
him
a
because
pain
he's
in
now
that.
Baiting people. He's
yes.
baiting people,
I
and I don't like that.
That's
yeah.
yeah. But
I just
that's also the that. Same kind of defender I saw play. Like, you could tell that.
But it's one thing for him to be a
different
defender
on the field
and,
than
yeah.
as a sports analysis.
Yeah, like yeah. I love Sergio Ramos because of how he baits people in the back line. If I had to deal with him as an announcer, I don't think I would. I think I would yeah. watch the game on mute.
And I don't want to deal with Alexi Lawless in any part. Anyway.
Right, exactly. But, I did make a joke that the U.S. men's national team played as conservative as Alexi Lawless's politics, though.
I don't even know his politics. I just know he's a...
He dances around
he's
it.
A
he
is,
like, he
is.
Definitely tries to play both sides because he knows who his
but he
employer's
is, he
bunker.
Is right. He's right wing.
But I was going to say...
But anyway.
Okay, two things about Pele. I kept waiting to hear this on Twitter. I swear to God, he coined the phrase beautiful game, did he not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody mentioned that on Twitter. I'm like, was I wrong? Was that not him who coined that phrase?
No.
Or is the Twitter generation too young to understand
I
that that's what he coined it?
That might be even soccer.
But isn't it in his, like, he had a speech in his last game.
If you were a fan, you'd know that.
But you got to remember, I'm older than some of those pundits that are on Twitter.
Yeah. And I'm a late in life fan. Like I said, I've only been a fan relative to you guys a half of my life.
There's some good Pele.
But he
things
yeah.
out there
yeah,
to
I
watch.
I do know
and,
that he
yeah.
coined the phrase "a beautiful game," which we use to this day
right.
in every aspect.
You can bicker back and forth, football or soccer. It doesn't matter.
Well,
it's still the beautiful game.
But you already. But if I say football, if I say soccer, you know what I'm talking about. Why does it matter?
I finally reached an age where.
Well, this is that was their intent to reach out to those stubborn fans who. Aren't really still fans, but they want to draw in more, you know, attention.
Well,
so
right.
you bring in the throw ball guy and then the football.
Ugh.
You know,
it came up again because they thought.
Although
it'd
I did
be
like
cute
the.
To have
oh, they're gonna
Manning,
they're gonna
David
do it again.
Beckham.
Okay, but those were funny. So I cracked up at those
could,
commercials.
I
they
would,
are funny. But.
I
was
them,
soccer
I would block
yeah.
them
you said soccer. Did not.
I couldn't stand. I'm like. Maybe it's me. There's so much fucking hatred in this world right now.
Yeah.
The last thing we need is one more thing.
I think what
at least
America
they
can angrily piss off, like, can be angry at the rest of the world for.
I think what I enjoyed about those particular commercials was that they were done in a spirit of
fun. In a humble way.
They weren't done to be mean-spirited, which is what a lot of soccer versus football becomes. They were just poking fun at each other and all that kind of... It wasn't anything mean-spirited like we see. And that's, I think that's the only reason
that drives
why I'm
okay
with those commercials. Yeah, is because it's...
It's going to come back in 2026 because we host. So now it's going to be like, because I've already seen shit saying, well, now that it's going to be in America, you're going to have to call it soccer because that's what we call it.
Like,
shut the
fuck
up.
Right,
Messi gets between him and says, who the fuck cares? Play the game.
Yeah, right.
Played well.
That would be hilarious, a hilarious commercial.
My second thing about Pele, though,
have Messi as the ref.
Everything you said before is because he came to New York, and why did he do that? I still have never looked into why he would come to play for the Cosmos when he was Brazil's greatest star.
Because at that point in time, the world was lacking a
league. Was that his intent? It's like, I'm going to bring the beautiful game to
football,
a
to
place.
America?
I don't think it was so much to America.
Since the beginning of time.
I don't think it was to bring it to America as so much to be able to play on what could be the next biggest stage. Because Brazil,
obviously, New York
and their,
has been New York,
right?
That's just it. New York is New York, but
Sao
Paulo or whatever, they're
barely watching them now. Are you kidding me?
The Cosmos still exists.
Yes.
Yeah, which is sad that they're USL.
I know. Right?
Yeah, well, they used to be NASL.
Right.
San Diego's supposed to get a promotion to MLS.
If the Cosmos had any. I don't think they ever had any desire to move to MLS. I don't know.
No, not really. Because
I mean,
they have
like,
two in.
This is our niche, and this is what
there's
we're
two
having,
other New York teams that easily could have that Cosmos spot could have been given to them at any given time, but because the Cosmos are owned by whoever they are, and maybe this is
Manchester City.
You know, it could be that thing where they just want to be the niche. Like, this is our origin. This is who we are. This is who we have been. And maybe if fucking MLS, and this is not the place to do it, but if they actually went pro rel, we might actually see the Cosmos in the top league. Because
I would love
that's
to see the Rapids at Cosmos.
Oh my God, that would be awesome.
It's because we would,
the Rapids would end up playing the Cosmos because we would totally get. Oh yeah, we get relegated as fuck. Just look at how they spent their offseason.
Never be MLS again.
No.
Not until they start taking.
But in all honesty, we have
and
a USL stadium anyway, so
Kroenke would actually take us seriously.
And I have not been to Widmer Field yet, but Colorado Springs might have an MLS stadium.
It's not much better than what we got, man.
Okay.
Anyway. Yes, Pele was definitely my soccer god.
Well, and maybe him coming to New York too was just it was another opportunity to play. I mean, look at Ronaldo. I mean, everybody knows he's not my favorite. But he's
the World Cup kind of sealed that for a lot of people. He was a crybaby. He has always been a crybaby.
Yeah, but now he's making millions and millions
in
some
in Saudi Arabia.
And never
they're going to hang a guy for advocating for women's rights.
But the thing is we won't see or hear from him again.
Exactly.
No. Like it's done.
He'll mutually part with
Saudi Arabia in a year or two.
Which makes me wonder is if he is. Is he going to Saudi Arabia because he can still play, or is he going to Saudi Arabia because they offered him $430 million?
It's the latter.
Holy shit.
I can't imagine.
It's insane.
Because allegedly...
How much money does one man need?
Yeah. Right, because he makes...
He has an island to be able to pay for.
The guy cannot possibly spend what he has now, and he's going to buy...
And neither will his kids, grandkids.
No.
Like, I mean...
But Saudi Arabia, I don't think, falls under FIFA Fair Play, so...
And there could be that too, but
and he's got to be okay with
allegedly Kansas City was.
I saw that. I've heard
very close.
I highly doubt they're as close as they want people to think they were.
Well, that's
that would be like an eastbound and down level fall from grace.
Well, not only that, it's
honest.
Fucking Kansas City. You telling me that CR7 would even consider that over Miami,
hey,
New York, or LA?
Right, you're here called CR7.
I will. I'll be completely honest. Ronaldo is one professional player that I've never seen as somebody who would come to play MLS. I feel like in his mind, he would see MLS as lowering himself, and he just feels way too arrogant to be willing to take that step down.
Yet Saudi Arabia is good enough.
And then he would say, well, I'm not going to go there and be clowned by Messi there too. So.
Well, Saudi Arabia has no TV coverage like MLS does. MLS has international
coverage. When the fuck did that start?
Apple. For this year.
Year. Hang on, let me clarify. For non-Rapids fans. But I mean, like, who watches the Saudi Arabia leagues, honestly?
Well, I think that's what they're hoping now is because he's there and they're paying him all that money. Right. That the TV networks are willing to.
So if his physicality fizzles in Saudi Arabia, you know, it's like if a bear shits in the woods, do you still smell it or whatever the phrase is?
Polar bears scream while taking shits.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, yeah. So if Ronaldo's career fizzles in Saudi Arabia, will the rest of the world still actually hear it?
The thing about Ronaldo is I thought that I would follow him out of Manchester United back in 2010 whenever he left there, and I didn't. It was really, it was him and Rooney that I loved,
Beckham.
And it was Rooney that I stuck by. I kind of followed Rooney to DC. I didn't follow.
He's still there now.
Yeah, but he's the coach now.
I didn't follow Ronaldo to Madrid
and,
at all.
Well, and Madrid was my introduction to Ronaldo. You know,
Manchester United was mine.
And I thought it was really interesting to watch the. So speaking of social media, the Instagram followers for Madrid dropped by a million, and Juventus's went up by a million the day that contract was announced. Mm-hmm. And so it's always interesting to figure out who is the Ronaldo fan versus the Madrid fan.
Yeah, he's bitched out of every team he's ever played for. Talk about a track record. And that's the thing, is I feel bad for those kids out there that see him as a role model, because
he's not.
He's not. I mean, he's the Ty Cobb of soccer, man.
Oh, he's worse than Ty Cobb. He is definitely. He's not. I don't think he's racist like Ty Cobb.
I wouldn't know. But yeah, but I hate to assume.
That was a whole different level of.
Yeah.
But I would say that he.
Great catcher, though.
He draws second penalties. Base. That's his That's skill. It, yeah. And if you eliminate the penalty kicks from his goal total, would he be in the same universe?
That's.
Any. Fucking.
And it's not like his freaking spot kicks are that great either. Like.
But it's hard. I mean,
he's good at falling down.
Yes.
Erling Haaland is going to just destroy him in a lot of different ways.
But he's falling down is massive, dude.
Falling down is the big black guy that soccer has.
That's Neymar's skill.
That's,
really.
I was just
going to
say
honest.
That's more Neymar actually, than it is Naldo. Although
and Diego Rubio.
Yeah. That's why I absolutely love watching something like Zinedine Zidane highlight reel, because
I love
that
Zidane.
Dude runs the gauntlet, never falls down. He is just, you can see the drive in his eyes.
Oh, Van Aalt was the same way.
Oh, my gosh.
They're not trying to fall
Most
down.
Of the
They're
Dutch.
Trying to score goals.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the fun part to look at the different leagues is who falls down versus gets knocked down.
Well, that was also what the World Cup was showing us, too, is that you look at Morocco and Japan. Like, these teams.
Morocco's
like,
good people up. Like,
and it wasn't because they were flopping and looking for fouls. It was they were playing the beautiful game the beautiful way.
Yeah.
Carly Lloyd does not go down for shit.
Every sport, you're going to try to draw.
Just ask her husband.
And do whatever.
But that's. I feel like.
Don't acknowledge that she's married.
I don't really acknowledge.
Totally available.
But you got to deal with her right wingness, too.
Is she?
Oh, badly.
No.
Horribly.
Don't tell Matt that.
I would believe
just
that about
deflating.
Mia Hamm, but not.
I can hear it now.
But anyway, like.
The just got inside of me.
I can't see my balls.
But I always feel like the women's game can't fall or throw themselves down like that because there's always going to be that.
They want to.
There's always going to be that stigma of, well, women shouldn't be playing it because it's a men's game and all that kind of stuff. And so women...
That's fucking
women, oh, yeah, no, it's totally bullshit. But so, like, women, I almost feel like they have to be, like, damn near dead when they go down in order to keep that up of, no, we can do this, you know? But anyway, sports heroes.
Or just role models of any kind. Like, I mean, yeah.
There you go. Well, and talking about the women, like, Brianna Scurry was probably one of my favorite. Like, I love, like, for whatever.
She was always in the shadow of Hope, though.
Well,
was
but.
Was she a goalie?
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Was she the black
guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's her, yeah.
The
but
one
she.
Uh-huh. Oh, she was great.
But she actually, like, she came before
she
Hope, though, didn't
she?
She
too, yeah.
But, like, for me, like, my one of my favorite positions has always been the
Is
goalie.
She? Oh, sorry.
So, like.
Doggy?
I mean.
Oh, my word.
Reverse counter. You're bending it. You're bending it.
So my favorite hockey player is Eddie Belfour. Keeper.
Wrong goalie. Yeah,
I'll just say
I grew up a Dallas Stars fan, so like.
He also played for Chicago more of his career.
Oh, but I knew him from Dallas, so that's that.
Patty Waugh.
Is Waugh time?
I mean, Waugh is freaking...
I only know Waugh from our very inaugural season with the Avalanche.
Well, he and he got there because Montreal. He came from Montreal, and he was playing in the way we got him was so kind of like Patty Waugh. The defense just fell apart. Some of it was Patty. Probably wasn't having the best night. Second period, fourth, fifth goal goes in. He skates over thinking it's time to sit the bench and cut it for the game. Coach is like, no, get back in there. And he's like, if I go back in, I'm done. And he's like, you're getting back in there. And went back in, and like two more goals happened. And it was, I think it was like 7-0, 9-1. I don't know what the total was. But painful. The owner was sitting above the player's box. And at the end of the game, Patty looked at him and said, trade me tomorrow. I'm never playing again. And he ended up in Colorado the next day.
And that, he ended up coaching, didn't he, for a while?
For a brief bit, and then he left. And then he ended up leaving Colorado almost the same way he left Montreal. He left his house fully stocked. Yeah. Like, who does that? But when you're that pissed off, you're like, fuck this. I'm going to go coach junior hockey in Montreal because coaching professional for this guy is worse. That's pretty bad. That's a massive statement. But, I mean, Patty Waugh was definitely in.
Here's my impression.
Ken Dryden, too.
Who?
Ken Dryden. Another goalie in hockey.
Kroenke doesn't know who Patrick Waugh is. Kroenke probably is fixated on the LA Rams.
Yeah.
That entire time.
Right. Yeah.
It must have taken years to make that deal happen. And that's all he cared about. And I have that from Avalanche fans. Like, the problem they have with KSC is that Kroenke fixates on one thing at a time, and it's never a Colorado team.
Even though that they want to own every team in Colorado, and technically,
whoa,
yeah, that's
the
what
Rockies
I have to say
are
about
the only team that do not have any kind of Kroenke representation on there.
Yeah, now the Broncos do too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're Waltons, man.
Yeah,
they're Waltons
and Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah,
but
who cares about that?
I kind of love that though. She
like that means absolutely fuck all.
Did you know she actually wanted to be
right?
She wanted to be NFL commissioner, which I'm like, that's kind
of
cool.
That's a hell of a job to aspire for, but you're not getting that. That's
after
like
Secretary
being,
of State.
Well, no, that's like being the mob boss.
Right.
No, for real. If you're going to be Doug, whatever the fuck his name is, you literally are becoming the mob boss. It's the same with Dan Garber. Why do you think they call him the Don? Once you become
his name is Don Garber.
It doesn't matter. He still runs it the same way. I'm going to sell it the way I'm going to sell it, because once you become a commissioner of a league, you're not getting out of that. You are the mob boss.
It's kind of like the papal office for sports.
Exactly.
You're in it till you
die.
You have been
knighted
to see if the
commissioner.
White puff of smoke comes out of the...
Either make this league great or fuck it up.
Anyway.
Yes.
But so goalies have always
been
like...
So sports heroes are not Kroenke.
No. But like, I mean, those are kind of like... I loved watching Brianna Scurry. I loved watching, you know, Tim Howard in his heyday. Like, I love watching...
Wait, did his heyday include any of the 3 years with Rapids? Uh-uh.
Nope. No, he had some... He had some incredible saves. Yeah.
He was here.
I mean, he had some really great... I'm not going to... say that his time in the Rapids was completely
well there
trash,
were shades
but...
of the World Cup in that playoff game, but we couldn't score, so it doesn't do any good if you have the best keeper in the world,
right?
If you don't have anybody to score,
exactly. But I mean, he made some stunning saves, you know, and so I love
he
those saves. Like,
I
don't
he came here with other
oh he totally did
oh,
we
yeah.
all know that
oh
yeah,
yeah.
He was working on his Nashville?
Tennessee, Memphis.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
So he's a terrible...
Well, he was here for, what, 2.5 years and lived in the Westin.
Yeah.
Like, he refused to actually get a real place. Lived in a hotel for 2 years.
Right.
Yeah,
that tells you he has no...
career here, and... Yeah.
I said it then, and I'll say it now. He just needed someone to pay him $6 million to live in America.
I think he just came here to retire.
He needed
obviously.
To...
Which,
he
I mean, and that's his prerogative, you know?
No,
that's,
I understand that.
And he said he wanted to spend the last part of his career closer to his kids, too.
But
which I can imagine, if his kids are here while he's playing in England, that's rough.
Right.
Well,
but
they're high
anyway.
School age now, so I mean, it the Rapids decided to benefit off of a aging player. But
as you recall, we didn't actually
benefit.
Do any of that any better.
Yeah.
No, but he was
no comparison.
But honestly, he was fun to watch at times. Like, that's kind of the thing to...
Me either.
I do not like McMath. Liked,
but I think Clint Irwin could have taken us to the Parker. Same distance.
But I freaking love Agreed. William Yarbrough. Like, that guy has stuffed some goals that I'm just like...
Well,
it's hard to tell when you can't make the playoffs if you're.
Well, and it's frustrating for Yarbrough too because he was on. He was in the U.S. national team's goalie pool,
right?
Like, the Rapids goalie Yarbrough, but
he needs to get back in there.
It's hard though when you consider who else is like. Honestly, the U.S. has really done a hell of a job.
Zach Steffen, who's playing in England.
Well, he bumped himself.
Well, true.
Get to England.
Yeah,
he got to
England,
but he had a really, really bad debacle where he scored on himself.
He's still there.
He's still there, but he's not playing.
Leagues, I
he
think.
Scored on himself. Like,
he's not the only one. That
who's
has.
He play with?
It was City, but he got loaned out to somebody.
Actually,
I don't know. It's
happy.
Second division, I think.
I don't know.
I think he's hurting.
But he rode
happy.
The bench for a while at
City. I mean, they were going to give him the option, but he really just made a really bad mental blunder.
Yeah.
And... It has not been,
and you can't.
Well, that's just it.
You can't make that blunder at Manchester City because
you can't make that blunder on any of the top 10 clubs. Period. And I think that's what saved Matt Turner.
Yeah.
In my line of work, that's called the destination city. You don't come to Denver to fuck up. You come to Denver because you're at the top of your game.
Yeah.
In my former career, I should say.
Wait, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
but I didn't think Tim cool. came.
Cool. Denver's
that.
A serious fucking news
to have
he's,
a quiet retirement.
He's
yeah, but
about
in
news.
His line, old line of work.
He's talking about news. I didn't realize that.
Yes, Denver is historically not supposed to be a place you come in unsure of yourself.
Wow.
Because you're asked a lot, and you got to produce a lot.
Especially if you're a meteorologist.
Well, I'm speaking specifically as photogs.
Photogs, yeah.
But, Denver is like, okay, we're the best of the best in Denver. It's one of the top NPBA markets, was at least. I don't pay attention anymore.
That's
Why
cool.
should you?
Exactly.
So aside from keepers, I think probably some of my biggest sports heroes have been like Nolan Ryan, Pudge Rodriguez.
Alan Trammell.
Jackie Robinson.
Ricky.
Sparky Anderson.
Ricky Emmett Smith.
Fucking Henderson.
Deion Sanders.
God. Ricky was Ricky, man.
That guy was my god as a kid. Yeah, Oakland Athletics, base stealing legend.
Randy Johnson.
Oh, Randy Johnson. I never liked Randy Johnson because he always played for a team I wasn't rooting for, especially when he was like at the Astros and stuff, but he will be forever immortalized for blowing a bird up.
I don't like to watch that video either.
But at least in that video,
you can't
really
tell
can't
it was
tell
a bird.
Until you see the feathers go.
But I know now.
I mean, there was no body left. It was just gone.
The only comfort I have is that he feels bad for it to this day.
Do you know he is a professional photographer for the NFL at this point?
Yeah, he is.
I think you told me that before.
Yep.
But I did love me some Dinner Sackersley, Rolly Fingers, Randy Johnson.
What a
like,
great name, Rolly Fingers.
And his mustache was just as epic.
Like Buster Posey is probably one of my. I don't. I'm not a huge fan of him.
Coco
but his
Crisp.
Baseball name. No, my favorite.
Kirby Puckett.
Kirby Puckett. My favorite is Angel Pagan because his name is literally Angel Pagan, and it makes me laugh every time. But you know, when we're talking, like I grew up, you know, we watched Nolan Ryan play and
I
as a Ranger
Nolan
fan.
I watched Ryan beat the shit out of Robin Ventura. That was so awesome.
Oh my god.
Nolan Ryan is one of my, like, that is the time of baseball that I kind of miss where it's like you don't fuck with his players because he will hit you.
With a 102 mile an hour fastball.
Like, and there are, like, I'm kind of like.
What's the Dodgers manager? He does too, doesn't he?
Robin
Dodgers manager? Now
no.
The old guy? Are you thinking
Lasorda?
Of Tommy Lasorda?
Yeah. Tommy Lasorda. Oh, man.
He'd come after you, too.
Oh, like, Bobby Knight.
Sorry. Oh, my gosh. He'd throw a chair at you, though. He wouldn't swing on you. He'd just throw a chair at you. But, like, Pudge Rodriguez, he's a Hall of Famer now. I watched his rookie years. In fact, I have a rookie card of his somewhere here. But I watched his rookie years at Texas, you know, as a Texas Ranger behind catchers. And honestly, when he left the Rangers was when I stopped being a Rangers fan because I was such a fan of his. Like, he was just so awesome to me.
I think he went to Detroit after that?
Was it Detroit or was it Florida? Because he won a ring with Florida.
Yeah, it was probably Detroit, because then I think that's when he went to Florida after that.
But, I mean, if any, he's one of those
Wade
players.
Wade Boggs!
Oh, boy. But he's one of those
Don
players
Mattingly?
That I would... Oh, my gosh. Now you're just throwing names out because you can.
No, these are all people from, like, I would follow.
I just Googled one of my childhood heroes, and let's see if you can get this. His middle name, apparently, is Nolan.
Okay.
He was nicknamed the Hawk, which I didn't know.
The Hawk.
Also, which I did know, Awesome Dawson.
Andre Dawson.
Andre fucking Dawson was my childhood hero. I
center fielder.
No idea. He finished up with Montreal.
There you go.
I knew him.
Wow. What does that say? Because Montreal ended up turning into the Washington Nationals.
Yep.
Oh, but he was, God, he was my...
I've seen, like, I've never been an Expos fan, but I've seen gear,
that was
and
a Randy Johnson
so
day.
Tempted to pick up Expos gear every time I see it, just cause
the teal?
The sentimental behind it of when I was a kid, you know.
The only Expo I knew the name of was Moises Alou. Because he would come. Mm. We'd sit in the rock pile when the Rockies were brand new.
Did you say
new.
Moist?
You try,
and
maybe?
We'd sit right behind Alou, and we would just do the...
Moist!
No. Alou. My favorite was when Philly came out, when they had Headley. What was his first name? But the guys, there was this row of guys behind him going, "Oh, Headley!" Like Blazing Saddles. And
it's okay.
I lost
it's 1898. You'll be able to sue her.
No, I love watching like Joey Votto just because of how he interacts with fans now. Like,
I just saw Derek Jeter on Bloomberg fucking news this morning or yesterday morning. I can't remember which one. I watched every morning. Must have been yesterday, Friday. Derek Jeter. Yeah, he's like big investor now, I guess. So.
Well, when you got that kind of money.
Yeah.
But he was
and honestly,
side by side with a guy who
he
just,
seems
he
like more stable than
A-Rod
ever.
Yeah.
The Don Russ dude or whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
I remember Derek Jeter when I was in high school. I had no idea he was that old, frankly. Like,
well, that's, I mean, he was kind of, I mean, it was him and A-Rod to an extent, too.
A-Rod fell
my
out of the... I knew of A-Rod, but I never knew
I got to see one of his final at-bats at a
Ken Griffey
Subway
fan
Series
than,
game. Oh, my gosh. Who didn't love the Griffeys? Come on.
Right,
anybody
right.
who appeared in that Simpsons when we were at the bat? We got Mike Scotia. We got Daryl Strawberry.
Oh
my gosh, Daryl Strawberry.
Oh, my gosh.
Wade Boggs.
Well, he's, yes.
All the drunks and cocaine guys.
Yeah. He definitely had that.
I just remember calling Pete Incaviglia Stinky Pete for the longest time.
Stinky Pete?
Stinky Pete. I don't know where it came from. But
I would not like that.
It's funny that like we're talking all baseball, but yet none of us give two flying fucks.
Yet,
no, that's not true.
As kids, I did.
I still love baseball.
Right, right.
As a kid, I wanted to be a pro baseball player.
Well, that's
because that's like easy game to play, make a lot of money, you know.
Well, yeah, you sit on the bench and make six figures.
Speaking of Derek Jeter, he
play three times a week.
He was like, look, I think it's the greatest game in the world, but these kids today, they want action.
Yeah.
Like, serious changes need to be made. I'm like, man, you could be talking about soccer.
Right, but...
I love how grounded he is. She's like...
That's why her
nickname
is
Kids don't talk
Chewbacca.
To kids next to him anymore. They look at their phones between plays.
Yeah.
Well, and that's...
Like, baseball's dying a slow death.
Which, that's
I
what frustrates me about baseball.
That.
It's the baseball, you know, pastime. It's... You don't... Like, you go to chill and talk and watch the
point.
Game.
And
get drunk in the stands.
Go and meet people.
No,
I
get it.
You used to be able to talk stats with the dude next to you, or... Learn something from the old man behind you about the old days. Ty Cobb was, I saw Ty Cobb play.
Enough.
I don't know.
I hear you.
That doesn't happen. I've been to the baseball games.
You have 8 minutes.
Yes. Nobody's doing anything but looking at their phone and doing their Instagram photos.
Right.
Right, right. Selfies.
Same shit with football, by the way. It's all about the Instagram photo. You pay $120 just to get in to take the fucking photo, and you don't know who wins or loses. You leave. It's a ridiculous system we have.
Right. I do apologize for the...
People can't see her, but she's adorable.
If
she just wants
her
dinner.
Her
she's like,
you can.
Mama!
She's got 8 minutes.
She's got 8 minutes. You got 8 minutes.
So is this last
call,
right, then? Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
We got a
we can go back to,
pain.
Like, granted, I'm not, like, you guys know soccer. I don't know soccer as very well. But, like, someone like Mary Lou Retton.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Like, as
yep.
I used to be
well,
a gymnast
shoot.
When I was
Billie
little.
Jean King.
And so to me,
Billie Jean King,
Monica Seles.
Yeah. In the back on live TV. Yep. Holy shit, that was my Jack Ruby moment right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was afraid to turn the TV off for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
Holy shit, what
And Jackie that? Robinson is on my list partly because of the letters that he wrote to the Congress and to the president about racial relations. Like, I have Jackie Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
I have a book here. Like, he was a major activist, and I'm like, I wrote.
She's super cute. She's like a seal.
I'm black too.
She's got that seal face. Like, I'm cute.
That's why they get nicknamed land seals.
Oh, you did say that. She totally does right now too. Is she full pit or part pit?
She's supposedly a lab pit mix, according to the rescue.
Oh my god, she's got that.
The
face
cat's like, shut the fuck up.
The cat's like, I'm gonna rub under.
But I have a whole book of his letters to Nixon, to Kennedy, to the different Congress members, and it's he does not give them any leeway. He's like, no, you need to fix this.
Oh, absolutely.
He's like, no, and I love
absolutely.
It.
It's already too late at the point that it comes up as a conversation.
Yeah,
I just
this country is a horrific. History of racial relations, and it ain't as good as it should be right now.
Yeah, it's one of those, it ain't as bad as it once was, but we got a lot of way to go still. But I just kind of, that was one of the things that I loved about him. I remember at one point somebody was like, we shouldn't be making any remarks about Black Lives Matter on Jackie Robinson Day, and I'm like, you don't know anything about Jackie Robinson if that's the stance you're going to take. So anyway, that's I have a whole bunch of other heroes, well, but they are not so soccer, many, or they're not sport-related.
Well, Muhammad Ali, too. Like, there are certain...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there are some that...
Why can't there's Sugar Ray?
He went to
jail. Yeah, but Muhammad...
Didn't he go to jail just to not go to refuse
yes.
to go to
Vietnam?
Yes,
to refuse to go to Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
Right, I forgot about
that. He had a famous
quote,
no Vietnamese ever called me an N-word, right. And like, he wouldn't go to fight a white man's war.
I feel like there are not some sports heroes that are elevated above, like, personal heroes and are just kind of... generational heroes and societal heroes as opposed to just being
well, it's like they say about Michael Jordan, they do change the way the game is played.
Yeah,
Muhammad Ali changed society.
Gretzky did it too.
Yeah,
yeah.
These
that's
people
true.
Change shit, like that's not easy to do.
No,
right. And then we have new ones coming up. I mean, I feel like some players in sports try to be something they're not and like advertise like giving towards kids or whatnot, but then there's the ones that truly are.
Yeah.
And it's hard to determine between them. What is he? Yay or nay?
Yay or what? On what? Sorry.
Good or bad. So there's ones that portray it like I'm gonna be in the camera giving donations or whatever. Sometimes I don't believe everybody. That could be my skeptical personality.
Ronaldo's like,
oh,
give me a statue.
You're just
and I'll
doing
give you some
it
money.
To be the good guy in publicity. And then you have those good guys that are truly good guys and give more time.
Like Pele.
Yeah.
Special Olympics and things like that.
Actually,
like, you
I
know.
Think might be, well, granted, I am a Buffalo fan, but I think Diggs is in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he's the one that, yeah, he's in the public, like, doing good stuff, but he also does it without being, he doesn't need the cameras on him to do a good deed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, to me, is a hero. You don't need to be.
Well, what's the famous saying, character is what you do when no one's looking?
Right.
When
right.
actually, the ones that are the true heroes don't want to be recognized as the true heroes. They
I saw
just,
a guy,
like,
there was a guy on Twitter, and he was like, hey, shout out to everyone who did great stuff in 2022 but didn't take a photo for social media likes. Like, thank you, because I volunteer every month. Yeah. But I don't do it for
right.
likes.
Well, and even my dad, weirdly, could be my hero in a weird way, but he's not
yeah,
an athlete.
Yeah, it's not weird if your dad's your hero. That's good. That's a normal thing.
But he's the one that does donate. He does good, but he doesn't want to be recognized. He doesn't want anyone to know. He does it on the, like, don't tell anyone. This is kind of on the... down though he just gives but he doesn't want to be recognized for it. He doesn't want anyone to know. He does it kind of like a secrecy.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I am too. It's
yeah.
like it's
and
not
to me
its
that's
only,
more because like
it's
some
reward.
People give and be like, you saw I gave 100 right, you saw that
to,
right, I'm good.
I got to interview Penn from Penn and Teller one time.
Oh,
and he
did?
Was doing a yeah he was in because I live in Vegas. He was doing a charity walk thing,
it's
fundraiser.
Teller that doesn't talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But, well, my reporter asked, she didn't know who he was. I'm like, we need to talk to Penn because he's you know, big deal. She's like, she had no idea who it was. So she asked this question. Why do you do this? Or why are you out here today? And he's like, why? Because I'm selfish. Because it makes me feel good. That's why. God bless you, Penn.
Hey, honestly.
He's like, yeah, I'm a That's selfish awesome. Motherfucker. I do good to feel good. Mm-hmm. But Abraham Lincoln said, when I do good, I feel good. When I do bad, I feel bad.
Right.
And that's my religion. Mm. Abraham Lincoln. And like, that has always been a very special quote to me. It's like, when I do good, I feel good. That's all the reason I need.
Yeah, kind of like...
I don't need to talk to... And he did talk to us, but he didn't need to tell a camera why he's a good person.
It's yeah. Just,
right. I would be here whether the media gave a shit or not. Because I'm selfish. It makes me feel good.
I can totally hear him saying that, too.
But I love how he spoke to her like he couldn't believe she asked the question. And I'm like, oh, I love
But I kind of feel like that's how he approaches most interviews.
Yeah.
It's like duh.
It's like, why? That's the dumbest question you could have asked.
Right.
Do you want a dumb answer?
Right.
It'd be nice to see an interview with his... With Penn.
Teller?
Teller, yeah.
Ah, I was going to say, Penn is tall.
Right. Because he does talk. That's just his...
Right, that's his... Side. Yeah, his shtick.
Too. You can
yeah,
follow
in real life, yeah. So it'd be nice to see
But even him. Penn will say that Teller is the most amazing magician he's ever met. He has a bit where he clips a rose, a shadow of a rose. And
I've seen that. That's incredible.
And Penn will talk about it. He's like, nobody knows how he did that, and nobody will ever figure it out. I don't know how he does it.
Oh, no way.
He's like, Teller is the most amazing magician to Penn. And that's the weird thing. Cause
but everyone sees
show.
Him.
But I think that was right. because he's the voice.
He's the voice. Right.
I'm just a loud asshole, right. But Teller is the talent. Yeah. Man, that guy is a miracle worker.
Yeah. I love it.
But well, I mean, I look at...
live, and he did the same. He did the rose thing live.
Well, I kind of feel like...
caught the bullet
it's,
in his teeth live.
And that would freak me out. The bullet, the catching
and somebody
the,
wrote well, their no, name mm-hmm. on it, and it was on the bullet. And it's like, nobody will ever figure this shit out. This guy's a magician, man. He will not... You can't beat this guy. And Penn will be the first one to say that.
As far as duos go, I like to think that Penn and Teller are much like Groucho and Harpo Marx.
Mm-hmm.
Because Groucho
Doug and McKenzie.
Did well, a lot, but Harpo was talk. Much like Teller, never said a thing. But some of the antics and the things that Harpo did were like, only he could have pulled that off. Any other role models, sports or celebrity-like, that...
Gene Kelly,
so
Donald O'Connor, Danny Kaye.
I was just saying, as a kid, Mary Lou
Retton. Mary Lou Retton. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Katie Ledecky. Oh, love her.
Don't know who that is.
She is a freestyle swimmer for the U.S. In the Olympics, and she holds all 20 records of the top 20 800-meter swim. She's phenomenal, and she just seems so humble and chill as all get out.
I don't know why, but I'll say Donald Glover to go out on. Donald Glover is a phenomenal human being.
Oh my gosh, his child,
seen
his childish
I've been wanting to watch it.
Childish Gambino.
Sir Sean Connery.
Childish Gambino. Yeah, yep. This Is America is a real hard hitting music video, and it's
changes you.
It's good. And he talks about how he feels like he just has this weight on his shoulders that he needed to share that message. And it's like, I've heard prophets talk like that, so.
Watch, you know, analyses of that video. Because I watched people, like, analyzing the video.
When they break down.
So much more than I ever.
Right? Like, I would never have known that the pose when he's shooting was a Jim Crow pose.
Nope. Never would have. And also.
It's just all these little nuances in the video itself that it's just like.
The bit where he says, this is Selly. It's double entendre. People are holding their cell phones, recording everything, but also the environment they're in is a prison cell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that shit I didn't get.
Yeah, I would have to listen to it again because it's one of those.
Music video.
It's great.
Right.
Yeah.
So the song is called This Is America. The artist is Childish Gambino, otherwise known as Donald Glover. And it's one of those you're definitely going to want to watch it more than once. And part of it for me was there are a couple moments that just kind of made me go, and stop, you know, because they were kind of hard to process in that initial introduction. But
there's another thing, and I don't want to speak. I'm going to Google it while you guys talk.
But it, I, It's good.
I just haven't seen it. I've been more focused on obviously his movies, but his series that he's been in.
He's a great hip hop artist as well.
I knew that, but I haven't really.
Yeah. So I would say watch the video, read an analysis, and then watch the video again because it will. The analysis will change how you view the video. Because there will be little things that the first time through you wouldn't have even thought twice of.
Chubby. She just wants attention.
She wants to get over and get some
water. Yeah, we should end this thing.
All right.
Well.
There's so many.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, everybody's left the mic, so I'll just say goodbye and done.
One beer in and you're still monastic. One beer more and you feel fantastic. Three beers in, now you sound bombastic. One more and we're rowdy.
Way, hey, the vomit rises. Way, hey, the vomit rises. Way, hey, the vomit rises. We're at this in the morning.
One beer in and you're in your shyness. Two beers in and you break your silence. Three beers in and you're prone to violence. While we're getting surly. Yeah!
Best one yet.